Coming up, Evolution's Back Pages. The appendix has long been a medical mystery. This small pouch in the gut, near the intersection of the small and large intestine, has no obvious function. It doesn't filter like the liver or the kidneys, or pump like the heart. It doesn't seem to have a role in digestion, and we seem quite healthy without it. In fact, keeping it can be dangerous and even kill us if it becomes inflamed and bursts. Now, evolution doesn't generally tolerate a biological feature that can only harm its possessor, so why do we have it? Well, a team from Duke University thinks it's uncovered the secret. The appendix might just be a place where we keep some important guests safe. Dr. William Parker, an assistant professor at the Duke University Medical Center, was part of the team. Dr. Parker, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Now, the puzzle of the appendix is one that's been out there for quite a while. What got you interested in it?
Honestly, we were never really interested in the appendix. We were looking at how the immune system interacts with the normal bacteria and more or less just stumbled onto the apparent function of the appendix.
The bacteria in the gut, in other words.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, the bacteria in the gut.
Now, when you talk about the bacteria, good bacteria, I think most people think about bacteria as something like an infection. What kind of bacteria have we got in our gut?
Well, you've got probably more than 100 different species of bacteria. They live in a massive community down there with billions of organisms. Those bacteria are important for our digestion. They probably help us absorb a lot of things from the food we eat. And without those bacteria, you really have a lot of problems with your digestion. On top of that, those bacteria are really helpful in terms of keeping out bad bacteria. In fact, E. coli is one of the bacteria that's good that lives in all of us. Those bacteria, if they're growing in your gut properly and taking up all the nutrients in your gut, then normally some kind of bad bacteria or bad fungus or any other kind of microorganism wouldn't really have much space to grow. Sort of everything is already taken up.
Now you mentioned that the immune system is involved here to protect them. How's it work there?
The basic idea is very similar to ideas that are already present in other systems. For example, we know that plant roots support growth of bacteria. They excrete material that helps the bacteria to grow in the roots. By the same token, we think that the gut is secreting mucus, and it's also making antibodies, and both the mucus and the antibodies, based on a number of studies we've done over the last few years, apparently help those bacteria to grow.
Oh, so you're saying the gut is actually preparing an area so that these good bacteria that we need can be well-fed and happy in there.
Precisely. That is absolutely the idea. And in fact, the bacteria are probably dependent on our immune system. So they've become adapted to depend. We depend on them and they depend on us. So a new bacteria that's coming in, say one that's not dependent on us, one that might cause disease, it's at a disadvantage. We're basically providing a survival advantage to those good bacteria.
Okay, so we've got the mucus in the gut. We got the good bacteria that we need.
Right.
Where does the appendix come in all this?
The idea then is that if you look at the architecture of the gut, you look at how the appendix is arranged there, and you imagine that the immune system is there to support the bacteria, then suddenly it might occur to you, and as it did to us, that appendix is sort of ideally suited to be a little bit out of the way. You know, it's a little bit harder to contaminate than the main fecal stream or the main stream of the digestive material as it runs through the gut. We did some detailed work over the last few years looking at exactly how the immune system maintains the bacteria. It turns out it probably involves something called a biofilm. You've probably talked about biofilms before on your show. The biofilm basically is a colony of bacteria that is adherent to any particular surface, and in this case, adherent to the gut. And what we find is that the biofilms are the most prominent in the appendix, and toward that end of the colon.
So are you saying that the appendix is acting like a safe house for the bacteria?
Yes, a sort of a nurturing environment, if you will.
Now, why would we need that?
That's a great question. It turns out that you and I probably do not need that. And I think, you know, a lot of data have shown if you take out somebody's appendix in our culture, you know, there's no really adverse consequences that we can detect. Probably what's going on is that if we lived in a society without modern sewage systems, without modern sanitation and health practices, we probably would need that appendix, because if your main bacteria in your gut gets contaminated, then your defensive response is just flush everything out. All of the lining of the gut gets shed off and everything just gets dumped out.
You're talking about diarrhea here.
Yes.
Okay.
The idea then is that if the appendix is there, sort of stuck back out of the way, less likely to get contaminated, then those biofilms or those bacteria in those biofilms could sort of reboot the system after this, you know, horrible event.
So let me see if I've got this. You're saying that these good bacteria are in the gut. We get an infection. The gut is emptied through diarrhea, and then those that are in the appendix, the safe house, then sort of come out into the cleaned gut now and repopulate it?
That's the idea, yes.
Wow.
And we don't have huge epidemics of, you know, cholera or amoebic dysentery, even the enteropathogenic E. coli that you hear about on the news so much. I mean, if you think about any culture before the Industrial Revolution, you know, you didn't have modern sewage systems. You know, you lived in tribal communities where these kind of things could spread throughout the whole community very rapidly. You know, if your well got contaminated or something like that.
But in our culture, people do have their appendix removed because it becomes swollen or something. What's going on there?
Well, that's a great question. It's almost an irony. I think that probably the same factors in our culture that cause the appendix to sort of be useless, you know, our clean, very clean environment and our hygiene, are probably the same things that cause our appendix to become dangerous, that cause it to become inflamed. If you live in a traditional culture, the appendicitis is fairly rare. Appendicitis is one of those diseases like allergies and autoimmune diseases that are a result of something in the Western culture. We live in such a clean environment that the immune system is not stimulated very much. The immune system becomes overreactive. The appendix, being an immune organ, can get inflamed.
So you mean the appendix is sitting there, its job is to prevent or to repopulate after an infection, but if the infection doesn't happen, it's got nothing to do?
I think that's a good way to look at it, in fact. The idea is that if you don't give it anything to do, then the whole entire immune system as an entity becomes overly reactive. So the appendix just might get carried along in the wave there of an overreactive immune system.
Boy, I guess that's the price we're paying for avoiding dysentery and diarrhea and all those other horrible things.
Well, absolutely. You'd rather take one trip to the doctor to get your appendix removed than, you know, have to deal with a cholera epidemic. I think that's for sure.
Dr. Parker, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. William Parker is an assistant professor in the Department of Surgery at Duke University. And that's it for this week's edition of Quirks and Quarks. Next week, turtleometry, the mathematics of turning over a turtle. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can write to Quirks and Quarks, P.O. Box 500, Station A, Toronto, Ontario, M5W1E6. Our email is quirks@cbc.ca. And to get to our webpage, just go to cbc.ca/quirks, where you can subscribe to our podcast, sign up for our weekly newsletter, listen to our audio archives, and check out our latest blog. Quirks and Quarks is produced by Jim Hanman, Jim Lebbins, Pat Sensen, and Zara Lurie, with technical help from Tim Lorimer. I'm Bob McDonald. Thanks for listening.